This is the Entertainment Answer.
I love it. I've got chills.
It's fast, fun, and frolicking.
I feel like I should say something smart.
Welcome to the Entertainment Answer.
Hello. Welcome to the... what are we doing here? Or would you start? Yeah. All right. Welcome to the Entertainment Answer.
Cut it off.
We're here. We're live. To the folks on Facebook Live, we are live. It's going to be a fun show today. We're talking about March movies, April movies. I'm Brian Kluger.
Start again and don't hit the table every time.
Yes. Get it all the way.
My Vita Coca-Cola. Hello and welcome back to the Entertainment Answer. And you always laugh
back.
At my intro.
We just started.
We're back from last week. We're here every week, so we're back from a week.
And we have fun every week.
Oh my goodness. Brian, you're off.
I'm off.
All right, one more time. With feeling.
Welcome to the Entertainment Answer. And you laugh
out, man.
Every time that I intro us.
But I don't every time.
We're here. We're going to talk about films, television, maybe some wrestling, some Blu-rays.
I don't know if we'll have time for wrestling this week. It's a very important week.
We have to get to one thing.
One wrestling thing?
One wrestling thing.
You want to get it out of the way now?
Oh, sure.
No.
Introduce our guest.
You kill me every time. But yeah, this is our favorite time of the month where we talk about March and April films. And we're joined by Preston Barta. How are you, buddy?
I'm great. How are you?
How was Austin?
It was awesome.
It was awesome. We're going to get to that later. He was at South By.
We're all a little envious and jealous. We're not going to show it on the show, but we might all be.
Yeah,
just know there's a little buried and you're judging me. And there's some hate in there.
There is. And Susan Kamyop, how are you?
I'm good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Did you enjoy the film last night?
We'll
get to it.
We will.
Did you like it?
No. Okay. We'll get to
it. Yeah, I figured.
Okay. Trainspotting 2. We'll talk about it. And of course, sitting across from me is the devilishly handsome, hair as well coiffed, Matt Munkle.
That's one of my words, coiff. That always just, some people just, it's a word. Anyway, yeah, I'm good.
You're good?
Yeah, I'm glad to be here.
I'm glad you're here.
We're a little late because it's almost mid-March now. We're just now doing our thing. But South By was going on and a lot of other stuff happening. So we're going to kind of recap what's in the theaters now for March and then talk about what's coming up through March and part of April.
I have to say that March, it's been a crazy month for early in the year for great movies and big, like, money-making movies.
Yeah. And we're going to get to it, but I think that's good because April, I don't see anything on April that I'm excited about.
What? There's several things on April.
Well, we'll find out if there is or not,
mister. I don't know. I need my phone.
So,
everybody scrambles
for their
phone. I don't know what's coming out.
I don't know.
Yeah, but it has been a pretty good March. We are going to get in. We're going to break down March and April. And then hopefully Preston will share some of the South By experience with us.
He will.
Well, he teases us.
If you allow me, guys,
I forget you're here. Yeah, we'll just ask you. You want to? Great. Fun times. So what's an overall feel for the perspective of March? I mean, as a whole, we're going to break down the films, but I mean, you mentioned that March was a good year, Brian. So does everybody else feel like March gave us some pretty tasty stuff?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, I think so.
I think it's going to simmer out a little bit as we come to the end. There's just a few that you're like, Power Rangers. Yeah, sure. I'll go see that.
Chips. Right.
Okay.
Yeah. So it started off huge because we had Logan.
Like 4-star movies, Get Out and that.
This is Get Out March?
Yes.
Was it March? Was it last week of February?
It was like the weekend of Oscars.
Yeah. So it was that last weekend of February. But yeah, that kind of, I mean, it rolled over into just kicking things off with a bang.
Yep.
Yeah.
I thought so.
Logan was excellent. It's making money, R-rated movie making money.
Did you have any doubt it would?
No, I think it was going to be, it looked awesome. I was hoping for the best, and then finally, my expectations were met.
Yeah. So, yeah, we're going to talk a little bit about Logan, because you're right. It does take this interesting concept of taking an R-rated film and what that means to maybe the industry and the future of of these, superhero films. Are we going to see kind of a change with, what Deadpool and all that did? And then there's a lot of family stuff coming out, which we kind of went back and forth. We all saw Beauty and the Beast a little bit earlier, and then Susan finally saw it, and... Mm-hmm. We almost all came to blows, all of us being the three guys, over this film. And then you kind of fell in the middle. So we're going to talk about that. I really want to get your perspective of what happened with Beauty and the Beast and see if I was just... Maybe I just like going in the afternoon and having fun. And
Preston and I sat next to each other during the Beauty and the Beast screen, and I will never forget this moment. It's one of my favorite moments inside a theater. 10 minutes in, when he leans over to me and told me what he thought. And
10 minutes in?
Yep.
It only took 10 minutes for you to find out?
Well, 10 minutes in, I was like, this sucks, right?
Yeah, in so many words, but I was like, I feel the exact same way.
Yeah. That's interesting, because I think I was on a higher plane than that, and I'm not really sure just from the little text that Susan sent me what she thought. So
I don't know what she thought, so I'm curious.
Yeah, yeah.
Before we get into Beauty and the Beast, let's just so you alluded to, Logan, now Kong Skull Island, I think everybody kind of was happy about that one too. That was another
one.
I think us three liked it. He hated
That movie was so much fun.
I liked
it. What did you not like about that movie?
Yeah, what was it about Kong?
Besides everything, so what now?
So you didn't like anything about it?
I like some things. I really like John C. Reilly just because he's made to be the comic relief. Like, the movie is so... Like, it starts off with this... Like, so much potential. I talked to somebody about this, but, like, it starts with, you know, they drop into World War II, they end up on this island, and there's this whole thing about, like, American soldier and a Japanese soldier fighting each other, and then they go into the jungle, and then Kong appears. And so then we dive into the very uninteresting time of Vietnam, which is like the most cliche Vietnam stuff you've ever seen, whether it's the soundtrack or just... They didn't do a very good job of incorporating that in. It was everything from like Forrest Gump, my God, like every CCR song.
Did they do that on purpose, though? Do you think they were trying to do an homage to that?
I'm sure they were, because...
And we just took it as...
There's cheating? An issue when you do movies that have loaded big casts like that. I actually had a conversation about this, too. In the first Alien movie, there's like 7 people in it. You have enough there to keep up with each person. This one has so many in it that... Toby Kebbell, is that his name? How his character ends up, I didn't care.
Yeah, exactly. You need people there for monsters to eat. Yeah. That's what they're there for.
That's what they were. They were like the... Because by the time it was over, there was only like, 5 or 6 people left.
Yeah, of course, there's stuff for people need to exist to be eaten or stomped on or smashed. But wouldn't it be cooler if I actually cared if they died, if the stakes were there? But I mean, all that's there is just like cool monkey fights, and that's cool, but the only thing that got me through it was just a little bit of the special effects, John C. Reilly's character, because he had 2 really good lines that I was just cracking up on. I like Jason Mitchell in it, but other than that, I just was really let down. Like, it could be summed up with this stupid scene with Tom Hiddleston when they're in this graveyard of bones. And then he had just met John C. Reilly, and he wants this action moment where he's like, toss me the sword. And then he's just... and any sensible person would be like, if they're John C. Reilly, be like, no, I'm fighting for my life right here. But no, it wants to exist for that ridiculous moment, and that's what the whole movie
was. The 300 style.
See, I just think the film was self-aware the whole time that it was ridiculous, and I just took it as a fun action flick. That, like, if you're going to spend $11 to go see a movie in the theater, this is one of the few that it might be worth your money just for visually entertaining.
It's a big
blockbuster.
Part of the MonsterVerse that's coming, kind of like the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Mm-hmm. I'm glad that it was that fun. Like, it's not, you know, knee deep in depth and story, you know, because there's not there. It's just literally people walking and trying to get saved and monsters everywhere. Fine, I love it.
Yeah, and I think it was a great Kong movie. I mean, I didn't care much for Peter Jackson's. There was way too many animals, and I know that one really felt like the book. If you read the book, I mean, it really falls in line with the book with the amount of monsters. But I just liked that they made it all about Kong and his island and gave him a few adversaries. And so it was a good dose of that. And then you're right, when we meet John C. Reilly's character, that's when we know, okay, they are going for a little bit lighter fare. Mm-hmm. They're really trying to make
he
it just
fun.
He was
the best part of the movie. Everybody else just had one, like, note thing, and that was it. But John C. Reilly, it was awesome.
Samuel Jackson had a really great line.
Yeah.
We can't repeat it. No, we can't repeat it, but it is so funny. I still quote that one.
I think I sat next to Mungle during that screening, and I caught Mungle actually applauding at several points during the movie.
Yeah, not to give anything away, there was one vital point at the end. I think I'm the only person that applauded because something happens to one of the characters that I was just so happy about. I was like, I couldn't. Mm. It was so annoying to
yeah.
me. I was like, please.
I think I know what you're talking
I'm done
about.
With this. But yeah, I thought it was cool. I mean, it wasn't trying to. Did you want something? I'm just trying to figure out, what were you looking for? What would have made it a good movie?
What would have made a good movie is if the very beginning, the story between the American and Japanese soldier, and then you have Kong just kind of there in the background to kind of just up the stakes for their situation and just keep it just on that. I think when they brought in all these different characters from when they concentrate after Vietnam, it just got too silly for me. And I guess my overall argument was, when you say that it's self-aware, yeah, there's moments where it just feels like it's being goofy and diving into the ridiculousness of it all. But to me, it just kind of felt like WB was a little worried after, you know, Batman v Superman, that they just did these last minute rewrites. And I just totally didn't feel like it would have like a really stale moment, and then it would have a ridiculous, goofy moment, and then it would go back to stale. So I just felt like tonally it was all over the place, and I couldn't really deem it as like, this movie is overall self-aware. But yeah. And then there's the bit with John C. Reilly when he's talking about the history between him and this Japanese soldier, when they said, oh, for the first time we took off our uniforms and we just felt like men. Don't say that stupid line. Just go through it. Like, how great would the movie have been if the whole movie, it was just about that dynamic?
Hopefully we'll get like a prequel movie of those two living 20 years on the island. That would be awesome.
Well, I'm more interested. Are they doing a Kong and Godzilla movie?
Yes.
So.
Yeah. So,
2020, I think, is when the Kong Godzilla movie happens.
I hated Godzilla.
Godzilla 2. Right?
Mm-hmm. They're going to do one more Godzilla and then Kong versus Godzilla
same,
in 2020.
Same cast?
I don't know. Probably the same universe. Yeah,
Kong and Godzilla. Pull like a Planet of the Apes where they just move on to a different thing.
I think it's all part of the same universe. Mm.
I just hated Godzilla, so like Kong was definitely, in comparison, just so much better than that one.
Yeah. Yeah. Go ahead.
Anyways, I feel like we've talked about Kong for a while.
Yeah.
I just want Kong.
But that's interesting that we talk about it, because it was such a difference of opinion. There had to be something there that...
Yeah, if you go in with the right mindset, I think it's kind of like with Beauty and the Beast. Like, we have our differences there, but I think it just ultimately depends on, like, what movie were you wanting.
Yeah.
And
a good movie.
Yeah.
Now, and coming off of that Beauty and the Beast, which I really liked, I felt like it really followed the tradition of the original story.
By copying it exactly.
But I think you have to. I don't know if there's enough wiggle room.
What's
that you don't want to jack up Beauty and
What's
the Beast.
What's the point of making a dumb live action?
Because it's
movie?
A live action. It's, because we don't very seldom get live action stuff like that.
Why would you
like
want
that
one? Just re-release the original. It's good.
See, I don't know. Because people like me who do not like animation, I appreciated the live action.
There was so
part
much animation in that movie.
Yeah,
so,
there was.
Well, you know what I mean, like full on animation. I'm not talking about like you know, CGI clocks and stuff. So I really appreciated what they did with it, and didn't really find much fault in it. You two, Preston and Brian, you guys despised it, and then Susan's the one that I can't really tell. It's kind of a eh.
I thought there was an effort to make it original in some, not original, let's not say that, but try to add some new things,
DVD.
Like the song, some of the stuff with her mother, which the only thing
made
was
me laugh.
That's the thing. Though
the plague.
Though they tried to add something new to it, unfortunately it wasn't a good new thing.
Yeah,
it was
it didn't
like
change anything.
I was like, why did they? I did not like the thing with her mother. I was just like, what did just happen?
I actually think I laughed during that scene.
Well, it was just so it was funny. So random, and I was like not expecting that. And you're right, it didn't change anything. It wasn't like it could have just been cut out. Like really, just stick with the thing. I enjoyed maybe like one of the new songs, but
which is actually taken from the stage version.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah, it's the one where Beast sings at the end.
When it starts, it's like he's a little boy or something.
My heart will go on.
There you go.
No, there's also the original song where I think when the candle and the duster are dancing, it's kind of like almost in the middle. I think that was an original song too.
I just realized that Beauty, after the whole time I was watching it, which is kind of funny, you said within 10 minutes that you thought, I didn't think it wasn't good, but probably within about like that first sequence where they're doing their singing and Gaston first appears and stuff, I was like, why is this not... like making me feel.
It's because they're playing dress up.
Because it's worse than those primetime network live musicals they've been doing. It's worse than those.
It was
and
kind
those
of
are
like that.
Terrible.
I don't think Beauty and the Beast is meant to be a live action. And if you're going to do it as a live action, I realize it shouldn't be a musical.
Yeah. Have you seen the musical?
I have when it came to Dallas.
And did you like it?
Yeah.
Okay.
I loved it, but the musical is exactly the movie, like
right.
the animated movie. And then also, there's something about theater that it is overacting and mm-hmm. it's okay.
And those people can actually sing.
They're really great singers. Like the stage, is incredible. I love the Beauty and the Beast musical. And Beauty and the Beast is my favorite Disney animated film, so I'm also a little bit harsher on this.
Yeah.
I don't like I said, I just, if they're going to do, if, I wish that they decided to just do it, cut all the music out and make it a dark, serious drama, because every time they got broke into song, they lost me. Hmm. I thought it was so, like, the Be Our Guest is supposed to be one of the best musical sequences, and I zoned out.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I was like, just get to the best parts were, I really did think that Emma Watson and Dan Stevens had great chemistry,
mm-hmm.
and their romance, they did. No, it was good.
There was, what I said, flickers. There's flickers of charm in there
between
them. Yeah,
I said there was a few magical moments, is what I said. Mm-hmm. There was very few. But that was the times that I enjoyed it, because I think that they, and that's what I love about the story of Beauty and the Beast, is the moral of it. But
yeah. I read your review, Mungle.
And you did.
I did. And I had some questions.
All right.
In your review, you stated that the acting.
I feel like
was,
I'm like in front of the, I'm on CNN or something, or
need my light,
C-SPAN.
My lamp.
I'm on C-SPAN right now before a congressional hearing.
You said that the acting in Beauty and the Beast live action was amazing.
I neither recall or reflect upon that statement.
No comment.
And we'll hold all comments until advice of counsel.
Okay.
Objection. I don't think anything was necessarily wrong with the acting.
No.
Per se.
I thought they really brought the characters to life. They impersonated what you would expect the characters to be.
Gaston,
and that's very important.
Luke Evans as Gaston, I thought, was okay. Mm-hmm. But Dan Stevens as the Beast, terrible.
Oh,
and
I don't know.
Because again, we're
was
talking
stale.
We're talking about not people giving us a character we've never seen before, but they're having to emulate a character, make it fresh, and at the same time, prove to us that that's the character we've known and loved. And mm-hmm. I thought they did an amazing job of that.
See, to me, terrible. My whole argument in my review is that when you watch the animated version, like, I feel like there's certain things that they can do that you just completely just, like, you're okay with it. Like, they can do this certain thing, and then you're like, well, it's an animated world. It's not like our own, so I can accept that it's all in La La Land.
Mm-hmm.
And for it to go into, like, this somewhat grounded reality, even though they, you know, up the goofiness a little bit to kind of make you feel that it's different, it's still, they got flesh on their bones, and so I still feel like there's certain things that they do in the movie just don't, they have to make more of an effort to make me believe it mm-hmm. in live action. And so I think when you look at Cinderella, which I know Brian doesn't like, but I like,
or
Jungle Book, mm-hmm. they deviate from the source material enough to make it feel like, oh, this could actually happen, and I believe that it's going on. But this one, it just didn't click for me.
Hmm.
So
as far as March, I think the only movie we all agree on is Logan, that it was amazing.
Yeah.
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 And Raw.
Raw is amazing.
Yeah. Raw
really hasn't released wide yet, though, has it?
Well, it comes still doing, out in March, though,
yeah, they're still
right?
doing press screenings for it, yeah. I think it's to come. So a lot of people haven't seen Raw yet, but we should talk about...
I really liked Raw.
High five.
It like grows on my list each passing day.
It'll grow.
It's awesome.
You
should see it. Done.
Done. Bam. All right. Well, let's talk a little bit. We're going to talk about the March films to come, but let's spend a little bit more time on Logan. The fact that we kind of preluded this, that it's an R-rated film, but this is the film the character deserved. And is this really going to pave the way for us to see more R-rated films, or did they just do it because Logan, after all this time, needed this sort of this movie for him?
I think a little bit of both.
Yeah, yeah. That's exactly what I was going to say.
I hope that in the future they take this approach where they're like, let's not dive into like the genre trappings where like you got the beam in the sky, you got bad guys versus good guy, but yet they kind of approach it in a way that makes it feel like, oh, this is like a just a gritty drama, and it somehow just happens to tap into some of these superhero elements. But like otherwise, like Logan doesn't have to be a superhero movie. It could have been just like any other No Country for Old Men type.
Yeah, that's a good comparison. Sometimes you forget it's even related to X-Men.
Yeah, and I want to talk to you about that because you loved Logan, right?
I did. I thought it was fabulous.
That movie's more of a Western than it is a superhero movie.
I never got Western from that. You even said that in a text to me. You're like, it's a Western. I didn't say
it's a Western.
How is it a Western? Because there's dirt and they're in the desert?
Like maybe a new kind of Western, like in the same way that Hell or High Water is. Like it just has modern Western. Not so much like, you know,
maybe we need to come up with a new term. Because I think Western, I think hats, horses, old timey, shoot 'em ups. But
shoot-em-ups is really what I think, and I don't really.
I mean,
think
a lot
is.
Like True Grit or Shane.
But those are movie. Westerns.
Yeah, but they even emulated that in the film.
Yeah, I really like.
Maybe there's comparisons, but you don't necessarily need to define it as that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think it doesn't really fit in the. You know, I keep saying a superhero movie. I don't think it fits there either. Mm. You know.
Yeah.
So, and the little girl was amazing.
So good.
She was awesome.
She was so good. And I usually hate little kids in movies because they can be annoying characters. But
sometimes they just need to shut up.
Yeah.
She was a
badass. And maybe that's the fact.
Yeah.
They didn't talk for
her. She didn't give her any lines.
She was a badass. And I just want to know, I can't wait for the Blu-ray to see how much fun she had making that movie. Right. Getting to like get the claws and just like kill people.
It'd be funny if she's like, I didn't know it was a movie.
I mean, she looked like she had like a ball on that set, you know, like,
dude,
fun.
She's one of those like if I was her parents, I'd be like, we're gonna lock the door at night for a while because this kid's like off the chain. But I thought she was such a great addition, and it got a little bit off the rails for me toward the end because there were so many kids coming together. I'm like, oh, we're getting overloaded on kids, but
that's the X-Men. I mean, you've seen a lot of kids in the previous films,
I guess.
I liked when the kids showed off their powers. There's like a specific scene where they all use it, and I was like, that was a great scene.
And I like how in this film, in this universe, the superheroes are just really remembered as comics and even shows the comics. Mm-hmm. And to see the kid at the end have the Wolverine figure was perfect. Like,
right.
That was so cool.
Yeah, yeah. All right, well, coming up in March... a lot of these movies you guys have seen. Some of them you've seen, we haven't. But we have Trainspotting T2's coming out.
Yeah.
Then we have Power Rangers coming up. We've got Life, which I don't know anything really. I can't get a read on that at all.
It's not a sequel to Martin Lawrence's and Eddie Murphy's movie, is it?
I don't
Life?
Think so.
It's in space.
That was a good movie.
You gonna eat your cornbread?
Ain't nobody like my cornbread.
Yeah, I don't think it's that one.
I wish it was.
Of course, it would be great if they had a line between Ryan Reynolds and Jake Gyllenhaal, where just randomly they're like having lunch and he just says that.
God.
Just really nicely. And
that
just,
would be awesome.
It would be great. And then Chips is coming out. Any of those four films, like, I think Trainspotting is going to be great, but Chips,
well, we
Live, Power Rangers.
Night.
I was too old for Power Rangers, so I'm not in on that.
I was very excited about Power Rangers when I first heard it was coming out. So
were you both into Power Rangers?
I was a Red Ranger for Halloween, watched every episode, watched the movie for Halloween. So
it looks like it's big budget, and I don't know.
I've only heard good things so far about it.
I'm sure it's okay.
Yeah, I'm sure it is what it is.
Probably. I don't expect it to be like the best movie ever, but I mean,
Nostalgia Fest with special effects?
Probably.
Yeah.
It looks like the end of the trailer is just an overload of just the stuff that you've seen in every superhero movie where they're, you know, the good guys are fighting an army of just expendable zombie-looking characters.
Right.
So, I don't know. That one, I'm going in with certain expectations. I'm expecting dumb fun, like y'all were expecting with Kong.
Now, what makes dumb fun okay for Power Rangers but didn't for Kong?
Because Kong didn't exist as a series where they're like, Morphin' Time! And, you know, like, that show was so cheesy that it only gets a little more realistic here, and I'm sure they're going to try to bridge the two.
Right. And that's why, you know, you guys being fans, that makes the most sense to know, because Kong, I wouldn't know what to expect.
Yeah, for Kong, we got the, what's his name? why am I spacing on his name? Jeff Bridges movie with Jessica Lange.
Like 1976
that was,
Kong.
Like yeah. that was yeah. a cheesy yeah. movie. And, that, and if I was expecting that, then sure.
Right, right.
Right. The cool. cover, the poster of that 1976 version was Kong on, yeah, the, two on the Two Towers.
Yeah,
yeah. yeah. Now, and then we've got Chips, which I grew up watching Chips. And,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Before.
So I never saw an episode right. of Chips.
And so, but I have to know, and Dax Shepard has even alluded to this, that this is not that
This
show.
Is a hard R, like 21 Jump yeah. Street yeah. style.
I'm, just like 21
I'm
Jump Street.
I'm excited to see it.
I am too.
The
am
trailer's
cracking The trailer had me
out.
Cracking up.
Yeah, I'm excited to see it, but I can't, there's no way I could go into that movie and expect to see, because like he even says, other than John and Ponch, there's no similarity between
yeah,
this and the series
good.
At all. The characters or anything, just by name.
Like 21 Jump Street, I think it's going to be very similar, like you said, like that, but with different actors.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is fine, because I like 21 Jump Street.
Yeah, yeah. That's a good way to approach something in a new way. Just like, well, we want to create this kind of movie, but it's a lot like Chips. Let's just take the title and just run
yeah.
with
yeah.
it.
Right. Because again, it catches your attention for yeah. people who nostalgically grew up with it. They're like, oh yeah, I know those guys. So this will be interesting to see. But yeah, the trailer just cracks me up. I watched the trailer several times and yeah. it's so funny.
It's not the show your grandpa watched.
No. No.
What about the movie Wilson?
That looks funny.
Any, is it a movie?
Any
is it
poster
a
that's got a urinal
to
in it?
Castaway?
Has anybody has anybody
more
heard
of these,
anything
more
about
these jokes,
it?
Please.
More of these jokes.
Are you like channeling Dave Curley right now?
I'm in the seat.
Because he's not here. Is that what you're doing?
Logan, is that like he's not running this time, so yeah. it's not Logan's yeah. run.
No, Wilson looks awesome. I like
it. Looks funny.
I like Laura Dern. I like
Woody.
But that's to me, I'm going to sit down with a screener link and watch that. I'm not going to take the time. I mean, that
really?
Just, yeah, yeah. It doesn't look like something that has to be big
screen. Well, that's
screen.
The thing. I was debating going to this screening because I've seen some bad reviews. And I'm like, ugh, I really don't want to go to the theater and watch it if it's going to be disappointing.
There's two screenings on that same day. There is Wilson and there is the Terrence Malick film Song to Song.
Which I will not watch.
Thank you.
I
will talk about it.
I know.
South By segment.
I know. In fact, just watching some of your reactions from South By earlier on your social stuff, I'm like,
well, I saw a post he made afterwards and I was like, oh, okay. I'm not watching
Malick
that.
Does no wrong.
Well, oh my god, he does everything wrong.
Malick does no wrong.
Wait,
are we in Bizarro Jerry World?
That was my number one movie of that year, maybe number two behind
you and Devin Pike.
Man,
Devin Pike went and saw it twice.
Smart man, Devin Pike is. Smart man.
Yeah, there's nothing about a Terrence Malick film ever that's redeemable.
You're wrong.
In my humble opinion.
Tree of Life was awesome.
Oh my god. No. I don't understand.
I don't understand.
Really don't.
It's no Obvious Child, I know.
Yeah, Obvious Child is a movie.
We talk about this every few months.
Every time a Terrence Malick releases a movie,
they're like, oh, the trailer came out. Let's bash him or love him.
Well, all I right. think the best thing is Matt's spoof on it yeah. that you sent. That is my
just,
favorite.
Just put that in every like detail.
Because that's a Terrence Malick film.
Tree of Life might be his best movie.
You know what? Well, yeah. All right. So that is one of the films coming out in March. And we're going to get into some South By talk with Preston. But just to kind of give us a take, what was South By, was it Song to Song, was that a high point of South By? Or was that a...
I feel like it was the movie that opened the festival. And I felt like it was the most awkward way to open the festival. Because everybody in there, essentially to kind of get, you know, get into it real quick, it's a 2-hour trailer. That's all it is.
Right.
I feel like Malick just shoots B-roll.
He does.
And mm-hmm. then at the end of it, it's almost like a competition between the actors. Because he's famously known for, you know, Christian Bale is not in Song to Song anymore. He was cut.
Mm-hmm.
And so it seems like he has this competition where he's like, okay, I'm going to get all these actors together. And may the best person win. And you'll make the cut. And then at the end of it, he's like, I got to be spiritual. I gotta do some music.
Gotta put a dinosaur in your
and
somewhere.
So we're gonna do a bunch of narration and poems and then make it all make sense. And
gotta
it
do
still doesn't
shot.
Make sense.
See, yeah, and so and for some reason that's his go-to and he keeps doing it and people like Brian keep supporting it.
Because it's
understand.
Good.
So what was the consensus when people walked out? Were they like, okay?
I feel like a lot of people were like that. I mean, if they were true diehard bunch of little Brians running around there. Then they loved it. But man, it was a weird experience as an opener because everybody was fidgeting in their seats. A lot of people got up to go to the bathroom, and it was just really stale, really boring.
Do you think they opened it up just because he was there?
That's rare that he was there. That's something odd.
That was
for him.
Very surprising. He didn't actually show up at the Q&A itself, but he was at the talk that he did with Richard Linklater and Michael Fassbender. But I think they just try to like to start in a way that feels like home. Like, what better way to start off a festival than kick it off with something that takes place primarily in Austin and show those buildings, that music scene. Like, I get their logic there. Same thing with last year. They did Everybody Wants Some, Texas filmmaker, filmed around Austin, not necessarily in Austin, but around it. So people like feel like that it's home. And so I get that, but man, Baby Driver would have been the best way to kick it off.
Looks good.
Yeah. I have no desire. And I think because of my history with Terrence, I just can't. I was about to come out of his chair thinking I was talking about Baby Driver.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Well, also, anything else coming out toward the end of March? When we've got like Zookeeper's Wife, we got Boss Baby, April.
Zookeeper's Wife is a Holocaust
film,
right? Is that
April? Is this April stuff?
Oh, that's April. Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah, because what we just... Yeah, T2, all that's kind of end of March.
Yes, but isn't Zookeeper's Wife about World War II?
It is about the Holocaust.
Yeah, I'm very excited.
I'm just curious. is anybody excited to see Life before that goes?
No. I'm excited, but I have no idea what... I have no idea what to expect.
I'm not really excited.
The fact that it comes out now has me a little worried. The fact that it has the cast that it does elevates me a little bit. I don't know.
And usually when they do the screening on Wednesday, not really a good sign.
I know. So, yeah, I want it to be good, but... I don't know. I'm a little nervous about it. I think. I don't know.
What else is on there? Is there anything I put?
We got Colossal, which was
great. Which was awesome. I've been waiting for that to come out.
Oh yeah,
it's
so
good.
It's so good.
We saw
Fantastic Fest.
So it's actually good.
It's amazing. Yeah.
It looked like it would be good.
That's a 5-star movie.
This is the one with Anne Hathaway, right?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
And Jason Sudeikis.
Because the trailer looks bad.
No, it's.
I think it's just one of those movies that is very difficult to sell because it's kind of a stupid concept. Or you give away too much information. I think they probably gave a little too much away.
But
as soon as I saw it, I was like, man, they should just literally just have just an image. And that's it. But how are you going to get
exactly? It's so good. Nacho Vigalondo is an amazing filmmaker.
And Free Fire is great. And we'll get to that in a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Smursh looks awful.
Yeah. I don't know why they keep making those.
They lost
Neil Patrick Harris. So obviously, they've gone full animation.
So they're going like the Alvin Chipmunks route where Jason Lee wasn't available. So they just keep going.
Right.
Fate and Furious.
They cut down the runtime, which is great.
Why?
How long is it
going to
be?
It was like almost three hours, but now it's like 2 hours and 10 minutes or something like that.
I'm not looking forward. This looks so stupid.
And where does this fall in the universe of the Furious film?
I think it's the last one. Like, now we're going in order.
This is going to be just as fun as Kong Skull Island.
No.
I don't understand.
This one is going to be fun.
It's going to be ridiculous.
Yeah. I mean, the action sequences in this one look like they're just...
It's going to be insane.
Yeah.
Will Paul Walker show up?
Maybe.
Too soon. Too soon.
Well,
maybe like a call or something.
A call?
This is bad.
I know it looks terrible, but I want to see Unforgettable because it looks like a Lifetime
what is
movie.
That's with Rosario Dawson
and Katherine Heigl. It's like a Lifetime movie on crack. It's not going to be good. It's that one of those like...
But you need some of those every now and then.
Yeah, I like those. It's like Katherine Heigl wants to get her husband back and Rosario Dawson's with him now and she's crazy. So
yeah, that looks to me like a fun girls' night out.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. You know? Have a couple of drinks, have some laughs with your friends.
That is,
dirtbag your husbands, you know, whatever you got to do.
We got The Circle on here, which I love that filmmaker, James Ponsoldt, who did End of the Tour and Spectacular Now. He's a really good filmmaker.
Oh, really? That's who's doing it? I mean, the trailer itself isn't as appealing.
It feels like Social Network.
that's the thing, is that that's, again, is a trailer that I want it to be good. I just don't know what to really expect.
This is one of those rare instances where I'm like, I'm just putting trust in the filmmaker to wow me, not going off of what the trailer shows.
Yeah. And then And then you guys mentioned Raw. Now, is Raw wide now, or is it Raw is going to be wide?
I think it's in like New York and L.A. now, and then it'll probably pop up in like Angelica type theaters. I don't think it will ever go wide. Like,
yeah. What did I miss? What did I miss in that movie?
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah.
I enjoyed it. There was nothing. I think I wanted more. I wanted more queasiness. I wanted more. Well, I wanted more visual assault. I wanted more.
That's not the movie though. It's a coming of age movie. About a girl maybe that was my discovering problem. Herself, like what she is and what she likes.
And that's the upside about going to a film festival and not having any material whatsoever.
Yeah.
You're just going in there blind. And I think we went into it based off of this the screening that they had in Toronto, I think, where it showed at midnight and people were just getting sick and leaving. And like,
what part?
Well, I think the crowd there, either it's marketing or the crowd is just too
drunk and
they can't handle anything.
Yeah, because there was nothing in it that I thought was even more.
I mean, there's some moments where like there's involved eating a finger that was pretty hard, disgusting. Hardcore.
But there were moments of that made it very funny to me. There were some pan shots of that and some clips that really
that's their way of like saying like, hey, it's okay, even though they're eating people, like this is a way of kind of normalizing it.
There was innocent quality to her and the whole, and I loved
it. Yeah, I'm not saying it's a horrible film. I wanted more. And maybe that is the problem. Maybe that the way it was being raved about from Fantastic Fest and watching the trailer of these shots with this, you know, horse running, and you just thought it was going to be this visceral, just amazing thing.
The photo that they're showing is a bunch of people in white coats and blood, and so you're thinking, like, things are going to get real.
I wanted heavy carnage.
So you're going to the devious route.
that's what I wanted in this film. That's what I was. But not that's what I was wanting.
But to me, I didn't want that.
There's so many movies like what you're describing, but how often do we get a movie like this where it's like, it's disguised as a movie like that, but yet at the end of the day, as you said, Brian, it's a sweet movie.
Yeah. It is a sweet
And that's
movie.
Why I'm sort of anxious, because I'm going to watch it again now that I've gotten through it the first time and set back and kind of know the direction they're going. I'm going to rewatch it and see what I missed, because I think I was so busy looking for the splatter that I kind of missed the heart of it a little bit, I think. So I'm going to rewatch it.
You should.
Yeah, I was glad that it wasn't what you thought it was going to be, because that's what I was worried about.
You were really nervous about it.
I was. I thought it was going to be this, like, brutal, like, I thought all these kids were going to get tortured or something. I didn't really, and then when it actually was more of a realistic take, and it was, they were going to veterinary school and all, I was like, everything made sense. I was like, this could, I like realistic films, so.
Mm-hmm. It was carefully thought out.
Yeah.
Like, the dynamic between the sisters.
And you like every character in that movie.
Yeah. Oh, no, I don't like the sister.
Well, you don't like the sister, but...
I hated the sister.
I can understand her.
You get her logic.
Yeah.
What do you think the market appeal will be for it?
Family film.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. Like, there's a green trailer out, there's a red band trailer out. The red band trailer is selling it as this movie that you were describing, that you're wanting, where it's this hardcore, psychological, the horse running on the treadmill type thing, where it's just throwing all these like bizarre imagery at you. And it does have bizarre imagery at you, throws it at you, but the way that the music plays out, the way that it's written, the way it's acted, just kind of makes it feel like it's a little more toned down. And the green band trailer kind of sells it as this kind of sweet movie, even though it has those you know, eating sequences. But I don't know, it's interesting. I have no idea like what they're gonna be, how it's gonna play out. I hope that word of mouth gets out, where people like us, where we say that, hey, yeah, it's disguised as this hardcore movie, but it actually is this very sweet movie that you'll probably remember by the end of the year.
Yeah, so you think it does have enough meat on it that it'll make it to the end of the year?
Good pun.
Yeah, now you're making jokes.
Hey,
it doesn't eat at you too much.
Well, once you flesh it all out.
Yeah, once you flesh it all out. It's the best thing since Wiener.
Oh, God. Okay.
It all goes back to that.
So anything else? I mean, you mentioned, are you really excited about Zookeeper's Wife? I can't ever tell when, anything that has to do with the Holocaust.
Yeah, really I like Holocaust films.
He really does like that.
Right. I'm excited. And just to have like a story like this where like people are like being saved in a zoo so the Nazis can't come. That's awesome.
Yeah, is it Jessica Chastain? Is that who's in it? Is that the girl?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, and I have to admit, after I did some research and found out that it was based on the on the popular book and what it was about, at first I thought it was the follow-up to We Bought a Zoo. I really did. I was like, oh, this isn't that at all.
Or Zookeeper with Zookeeper,
yeah. Kevin James. Yeah.
Yeah. Zookeeper's wife.
Yeah.
Also played by Adam Sandler.
I would see that too.
I would not.
That's funny. Well, you talked a little bit about the opening film of South By. So, what was some of the things about South By what was your highlight moments? Because you get to go and.
What's cool is, we did a little bit differently this year than we did last year. Because last year.
We being the festival or you in general?
Like me and my buddies who write for freshfiction.tv came with me. And so we each year we try to make, you know, a schedule for ourselves, and last year we loaded up on a lot of films because there was a lot of like recognizable titles, Sausage Party, Keanu, Hardcore Henry, like all those ones that we were just like, oh man, we were overwhelmed, and we felt the need to go see them all. Mm-hmm. This year they had a few, but we took more chances on some of the smaller films because those are the ones that usually, like, I remember Hello, My Name is Doris came out it was 2 years ago that it was at South By, and that movie came out just last year.
Yeah.
So there's special moments where, like, even the small ones at Fantastic Fest, where you take the chances on these smaller ones, you see it well within a year or two before it actually releases, and then you have that, you know, that specialness. A lot of these big ones, they come out next month. Who cares?
Right.
You're going to see it anyway. Like, you're guaranteed to get an email from Josh or whoever, and then you'll see it next month.
Right.
So, this year we saw smaller films. We did more activities. Like, there's event stuff. Like, this year Free Fire did this spectacular event where they're trying to, like, up the ante on how press events should be done. Like, instead of you just going to a hotel, sitting down, have the camera set up, you get your coffee, you get your muffin, and then you do your interview and you leave, and that's it. This one, they made it like you participate in the activity that kind of resembles the film. In Free Fire, it's all about gunplay. So where they take us? A paintball place.
Nice.
And they had this van that was like had gas going. You hit a button and then an explosion would happen. And so we would have fun taking pictures in front of it.
Right.
And then you would talk with the stars, and then you would play paintball with Charto Copley. Like, how often are you ever going to do something like that?
Rarely.
So
that is awesome.
Yeah.
So yeah, like we and we would go to, like, some of these events where they had, like, Jason Sudeikis was bartending at the Highball at the Alamo Lamar, and which is, like, a promotion for Colossal because he's a bartender in that movie. So, they're making a point to, like, interact, like, make that bridge between the movie itself, the audience, and the filmmakers. Like, we're all just hanging out, enjoying what... So, that's why I think, like, somewhere down the line, y'all need to just come...
Right.
And come to South By, because there's, even though it's a little overwhelming again to go because it's split up 7 screens, it's, if you know somebody who has been there before, it's fun.
Yeah. Well, I've gone a couple years, and then I think the last 3 years I took off.
I think they're slowly trying to figure out, like, what's the best way to approach it.
And it seems
it's
like
a lot of trial and error. Like, this year they had issues with, like, your express badges. You wake up super early, you can get, if you don't get your press ticket, you can wake up really early and get these little express passes where it's like 10% of the theater, like, get these press passes. And so there's just, like, small stuff here and there that they don't get right, but each year they're trying something new, and then it works out, it doesn't work out, but they're constantly learning. So I feel like now it's at its best point than it probably was when you were.
Yeah. And those are smart decisions, because I'm thinking, if I'm an actor or a director or a filmmaker and I'm going to all these festivals,
yeah,
I get tired of sitting in that same hotel room too, answering the same questions. Yeah, of course I'd rather bartend or do paintball.
There's no fun in flying out this Ryan Gosling where he's in a hotel all day, and then he plays the movie, and that's like the most excitement they get. They sit down in the theater and people are reacting to it live.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's probably the most thrill they get out of it. Otherwise, they get, you know, a moderator who barely cares about them, and they're just kind of going through the motions, and then they do their Q&A, and then they open up to the audience, and the audience asks stupid questions, and then that's it.
Right.
And they go home.
Yeah, yeah. So smart. Now, you mentioned Free Fire. I love the trailer for this, and I'm excited to see it.
Yeah.
But from watching it, I get the feeling, does it all really take place in that one setting, entire movie?
It absolutely does.
Really?
So I went in with the same kind of reservations as you. Probably, like, I love movies like Reservoir Dogs, where it's, like, warehouse-based. But so I was thinking, okay, so how are you going to keep this movie feeling fresh for the next 90 minutes to 2 hours? And is it going to hold up a second viewing? This movie's so layered, and the comedy's so good, and the characters are so fun, that I think you could watch this a couple times, and it still feels just as fun.
Yeah, good. So, good, because that's what I wanted, something like that. Almost like a number 11 feel to it, or or something like that, or but at the same time I was like, how are they going to keep this keep the elevation up and being just rolling around this one area?
I'm not a huge fan of Ben Wheatley's films. He did High Rise last year, which is a beautiful looking movie, but he's a very ambiguous filmmaker.
Right.
This one has I guess you can compare his older films to a lot of Terrence Malick's films, except it's done a little bit better.
Right.
But this one, there's an actual narrative here.
Right.
And
right.
It's just great to hang out with these people you actually care.
So, yeah.
Sweet. Yeah, Free Fire, recommend it.
Yeah, and it comes out end of this month, right? End of March?
April. Is it the first end of April, I believe.
Yeah, you're right. It is end of April. Yeah. So that's one on my list for April that I'm excited to see.
So that was a highlight. And then I was talking about Baby Driver earlier. That was probably the most fun of the festival because...
Edgar Wright is like...
Yeah, can't really go wrong with Edgar Wright, even though, like, I can watch World's End now, and it doesn't quite have the same effect on me, but still I love Hot Fuzz, or at least Shaun of the Dead still holds up.
Scott Pilgrim.
So that's, the humor in this film is a lot of, like, taking the violence and language of is it Coronado Trilogy?
The Cornetto Trilogy.
So that's Hot Fuzz, Shaun of the Dead, and World's End. And taking the craziness and kinetic energy of Scott Pilgrim and bringing it into one, while also kind of telling the story that you're somewhat familiar with, but just making it a little left of center. Like, you got movies about getaway drivers falling in love with women.
Right.
It's been done before so many times. But they make it detailed enough where this particular driver had an accident when he was young, and he has tinnitus, where... It's just like there's constant ringing in his ears.
Right.
So he has to listen to music. And the soundtrack is so much fun. And it's just like there's no way better to describe it than fun. Like, So I'm excited to see it again. Take my wife in August, even though we're having a baby in August. We're going to find some time.
Congratulations.
Yay. That's right.
Have you seen Inside yet?
Oh, my
Inside?
God.
Inside? was that a joke that I meant?
No, that's a good movie. Horror. That's not a good movie.
I thought you were making, like, have you seen Inside?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
You're taking it too far.
Yeah, even the cover that
was with you. You're so you're an anomaly.
The poster that with the bathroom scene with the scissors. And
it's a good pregnancy movie.
No,
probably is not then.
It is not at all.
I'm gonna look it up right now.
So yeah, so I think now that I'm watching some of the stuff from South by, I might try to go back next year. But now the issue is, since I haven't been in several years, I don't know if I could get credentials. So I might have to just buy some tickets next year and go, and then build up some coverage. And then
I think you could do it. I'm Matt freaking Munger. I've talked to these
Yeah, that
people.
Really worked at Fantastic Fest. They were like, we don't freaking care. Come back next year. So I don't know. I mean, it's fine. I mean, that's cool. I don't take that personally.
I want you to go.
I'm not one of those critics that feel like you have to give me this. I understand.
I think you could get into Fantastic Fest this year if you build a relationship with Fonz PR, which they're doing some stuff with Dallas now.
And I do. I mean, we do stuff throughout the year with them.
Yeah. So as long as you keep up with them, they'll keep up with you.
Yeah. Yeah. Because festivals are fun. I mean, we got the Dallas International Film Festival coming up.
Mm-hmm. Which one?
USA,
as Brian calls it, the Dallas Film Festival.
Yeah. The Dallas Film Festival.
Yeah. So, there's something I was going to ask about April. And I totally like. Oh, Ghost in the Shell. What do we know about Ghost in the Shell? Anything?
I don't know anything about it
except that it has Scarlett Johansson. And it sort of looks like Lucy.
It's a beloved animated film.
Oh.
All right. So then. It's pretty heavily stylized, so I'm not expecting like too much from it, but maybe it could be fun. So
I feel like I should watch the like anime film first.
You should. I think you'd like it better than what's coming out.
They screened it at South by 2. Actually.
Did you watch it?
No.
Oh.
Anything good coming out on Blu-ray?
Yes.
What?
Multiple Maniacs, John Waters' first film on Criterion with Divine. If you haven't seen this movie, highly recommended. Before Pink Flamingos.
Right, I know it's before Pink Flamingos. I'm trying to remember. I don't think I've seen that one.
It's really good.
Yeah.
It's about Divine. She and her crew are like this panhandling circus troupe that try to get people in, and their big act at the end is to rob everybody. But then to even up that, they start killing people too.
It's right.
Pretty cool.
Because robbery soon gets boring.
Yes. Yeah. Multiple Maniacs. Also, I think on there, RoboCop 2 and 3.
I got 2. Because it has Peter Weller in it.
Yeah, didn't all three of them have Peter Weller
in it? No, he's not in the third one.
Trying to remember. Who was the kid in the second one? The little kid.
The bad kid?
Yeah, I'm trying to remember his name.
I don't think I know him from anything else.
It was great.
He was a snotty little kid, and you want to punch him in the face.
I know. Assassin's Creed is coming out on Blu-ray.
That movie did horrible.
That was so bad.
Anyone see
it's
it?
Coming out on Blu-ray.
I didn't see it.
What else is written on there?
You got Insecure.
Which is an HBO show.
Yeah.
I heard that was good.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, Fire at Sea, which was a documentary.
Fire at Sea was a really good documentary that I think was nominated.
Was nominated.
That was actually, it's really good. It's about the migrants and their, it's heartbreaking.
The only thing I remember that about that, and I think I talked about it before, was they really good packaging for the screener.
That's right, yeah.
But I still didn't want to watch it.
That's a heartbreaking documentary, but good though.
And then the last one you got is Live by Night, which you loved, Matt.
I've seen it 3 times.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Live by Night?
Mm-hmm.
I mean...
Live by Night or it Sleep?
Was Sleep by 100 billion percent, right?
Did you watch it?
Live by Night? Yeah. With Ben Affleck?
Yeah.
Yes.
I didn't
like it.
You always have to ask. Sometimes you don't like movies you haven't seen.
Yeah, sometimes you just say it looks awful, so it's awful.
It looks awful. No, I saw Live by Night.
Yeah.
No.
It is what it is. I think people who like Ben Affleck and like that tone of film will enjoy it. Yeah, there's nothing...
special. Mm-mm. It's just enjoyable.
If I had to sit down and watch It or Godfather 2 again, I would watch It.
Oh, boy.
Watch It. What do you mean?
I would watch Live by Night before I'd watch any of the Godfather movies. Or what was the other one? Scarface?
How do you not like Godfather 1 or 2? Or
Wise Guys? Or Casino? Goodfellas?
Those are some of the best movies ever made. Do you agree?
Yeah. I watch Goodfellas all the time, probably once a year.
See?
But I get Godfather a little bit because it is a little slow compared to nowadays because of Transformers, our attention span is of a gnat.
Right.
So, I'm not a fan of Godfather either, but I've only ever seen the first. I know, it's Trevor's number two, so. I don't think the third one won the Oscar.
Which one won the Oscar?
One and two.
Both.
Number three was nominated,
but that was Dancing with Wolves, and it should have been Godfather.
It should add 1,000,000,000%.
Goodfellas looks better than Godfather.
I still need to bring you that
bring that.
Yeah. It's good stuff.
What else? Anybody watching anything good TV-wise? This Is Us?
It just finished the season finale.
Yeah.
And it was still to this day, I still say, it's one of the best written dramas. The writing is just incredible. Yeah.
And it's interesting to me because my wife thought the same. And in fact, everybody I know who has seen it has thought that. Every now and then these shows come along. Why aren't there more of these? Is it because reality TV has kind of sucked the life out of writing and budgets? And
true. I mean, even to this day, even though This Is Us still gets like critically acclaimed, it's probably not even, I don't know if it's getting that much, if it's doing that well.
And they never expected it.
Watches it.
So,
yeah. I don't know if they ever expected it to do what it did.
I feel like producers just kind of get stuck in old ways. Like if they try something, it doesn't quite work out. They're like, well, I guess that's a formula or a sign that this formula doesn't work.
Right.
And so look at Jordan Peele's Get Out. A lot of people were telling him, no, can't do that. But then Blumhouse took a chance on him and that movie made so much money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. You never know. And so, it's like Doubt, which was the other Katherine Heigl TV series that they just started.
Didn't that get canceled?
2 episodes in and they're like... Pull that puppy.
I'm happy about that.
It's just, they're doing a lot of, I feel like, Taken and Lethal Weapon.
A lot of cop shows.
Yeah.
A lot of cop shows.
They seem to try to be doing that a lot.
Yeah.
Anybody? Joey Sunny in Philadelphia has been excellent this season.
Has it?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
It's been so good.
Anybody watching Santa Clarita Diet?
What's that?
Santa Clarita Diet with Drew Barrymore on Netflix?
It's the zombie show. I haven't seen it yet, but I really want to watch it, though.
Iron Fist comes on Netflix this week.
Which
I think
is supposed to be absolutely horrible.
Yeah.
Really?
They got really bad reviews. Yeah.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
I was really excited for it. It's like part of the like added to the Marvel thing, like with Daredevil and
Luke
Cage.
Oh, he's a character? Oh.
Yeah.
I didn't know if it was like
he's
a
like
Ip Man 4 or
something. I can't believe it.
It's not. What's his name? Raj. The rapper that is
the RZA.
RZA.
Yeah.
RZA.
Dang, that stinks. I was really looking forward to it because they've done so well. Like all the other three were good. Daredevil, Jessica Jones, and Luke Cage were solid.
Can't win them all.
Nope.
All right. Well, for anybody that would go to the theater, I mean, we go to the movies a lot. And we see a lot of movies. People sometimes listen, they go to two, maybe a month, maybe three. What are the two options for March that you would tell people if you're going to go to the movies?
Logan
these
and Get
these
Out.
Are what you need to see.
Logan and
Get Out. That was February.
Get Out's still in theaters, though.
Yeah, Get Out's still in theaters, and Logan's still in theaters. Logan and Get Out if you haven't seen it.
I actually agree with that.
And if Raw's going to come out, Raw as well.
So Kong's not on your list of, that'd be a fun date.
If I had to pick two, it would be Logan and Get Out.
Both R-rated films.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would
take
agree.
Your kids.
Take your kids.
Get Out is the one that I think if you're of age, everyone should watch.
I'm really curious to see in December if all of us have Get Out in the top 10 or top 5.
Get Out will be in my top 10.
I would hope so. I mean, I'm impressed. I would hope so. You never know. You never know. You know, we always have that conversation.
It was like last year where I was like, it's definitely going to hold up. And then we just got stampeded with a bunch of films at the end.
Yeah.
Interesting. You never know.
All right. Well, appreciate you guys being here. It's always fun.
Yeah. I've got to mention Sora Pro Wrestling this weekend.
Oh.
Do you have to?
We almost got away.
Almost. I do. I do. Let me see that sheet real quick.
Oh, damn. That was a good thing when I was on your side.
If you're in town in the Dallas area on Saturday, Sore Pro Wrestling is at the Elks Lodge in Dallas. It's off of Northwest Highway. It's so much fun.
An Elks Lodge off Northwest Highway.
It's awesome. It's so much fun.
Is that right down from the car wash where the strippers will wash your car?
That's what I was going to say. Isn't that near the strip clubs?
No.
Oh, is that another part of Northwest Highway?
That's Northwest Highway and 35.
Is it not near the beer barn?
The beer barn's closed, and that's at Park Lane in Greenville.
Oh.
You're welcome. It's closed. It's right by the old $1 million saloon. It's not there anymore. Northwest Highway, there's like a Kroger there.
Sneaking
some candy.
It's awesome because there's a full bar, there's food, and it's...
We're out of chips. Somebody run to Kroger.
The bell is at 7:30 p.m. You're going to have Lou Gotti, Nobi Bryant, Xavier Daniels, Brad Sanders, Baron Slade fighting in the ring. It's trust me, it's so much fun.
And you and Scott Jackson are going?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And some other people. We always bring people.
And then go see John Wick for the 10th time.
Scott is on number 9, Steam John Wick 2. So.
Wow.
He's committed.
I saw The Dark Knight Rises. Dark Knight 11 times in theaters.
Really?
Scott Jackson.
Wow.
There's your,
I don't know if there's a movie I could do that to.
That was the only time. I can't do that now.
Yeah, that's an interesting concept or a discussion to be like, what movie you've seen the most in theaters? I'm trying to remember.
The last one I think of, I saw Obvious Child 3 times in theaters. I know. That's what came to mind. But in theaters.
I saw Jurassic Park, I think, like 9 times in the theater.
The first one?
Yeah, the first one back in 1993.
I saw Titanic probably 10 times, too. Those are the two.
Yeah. Titanic I saw a lot. Recently, though, I can't remember. I saw Force Awakens 3 times, I think.
I saw Force Awakens 3 times because I had to go see it with everybody.
And I saw Rogue One twice. I saw the James Bond Spectre twice.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, it wasn't bad.
It was...
Mr. Bond.
It was...
Well, when you put it like that, baby.
I'm the author of all your pain.
Could do the whole show like that. Oh, so good.
That was pretty awesome. Yeah, you can't end on a better note than that. Yeah. So, yeah, a lot of fun. Whatever you guys see, just have fun seeing it. And, we'll come back next year, next month.
We'll be back next year. We'll no longer be here.
We're only good for March.
Talk about April. And hopefully April's better because there's nothing about April that I'm excited about.
Fast and Furious 8.
Nope.
There might be some movies I walk out going, that was fun, but there's nothing I'm anticipating and hyped about. Except for now, Free Fire.
Free Fire
now I am hyped about. But it's other than that,
I think Free Fire
Colossal.
Is all.
You're going to love Colossal.
Oh, I guess Colossal.
You're going to love it. It's good.
Yeah. All right. Fair enough.
You're listening to The Entertainment Answer.